Would you pray with me? Dear Father, I just pray that you would be with us tonight, that, Father, you would incline our hearts towards Jesus Christ, that on this day we would be reminded how good, how loving, how gracious that you are. I pray, Father, that in this time and in this place you would meet us here, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This last November, a science fiction film came out called Arrival. And in the movie, Amy Adams plays the lead character. She is a linguist professor at a college. And one day she's lecturing, and the news comes on that 12 alien spacecrafts have landed across the Earth. Science fiction. So she's recruited because she's well known for her skills with languages and translating to help investigate who these aliens are and why they've come and what their intentions are. So she partners with a physicist named Ian, and they end up making contact with two of these aliens. Now, in this contact that they've made with them, Amy Adams' character ends up getting glimpses into her future. So as she's trying to translate what their language means, she has these dreams of what her future is going to look like. In the one, she sees how to end all of the strife that's going on in the world because they're terrified of who these aliens are and what they could want, and global war is looming on the horizon, and she sees herself having the conversation that stops this from happening. In another vision, she gets a glimpse of her personal future, and she sees herself as a mother. She sees herself in the hospital holding this precious little girl that she's just given birth to. She sees her growing up and playing games and doing these special things together. She sees her fighting with her as a teenager. And then she sees her as a young woman dying in a hospital of an incurable disease. As the movie draws to an end, her and Ian fall in love. He recognizes this awesome moment between them. And she has a choice. She knows what lies in her future. She knows that to marry this man, that to have a daughter with him, is going to lead to pain. It's going to lead to sorrow because she's seen that this beautiful girl dies. And she's seen that this man she loves is broken because of it and ends up leaving her. So she has a choice. Does she marry him and go through with this life? Or does she choose to do something different? She says, there are days that define your story beyond your life. Despite knowing the journey and where it leads, I embrace it and welcome every single moment. She knew in the end that this life she chose was gonna lead to excruciating heartache. She knew that that path was going to lead her to overwhelming pain, and still she chose it. And it's a really fine idea for a science fiction and to think in, you know, theoretical terms, but I wonder for you and I, for us, if we knew our hardest day was coming, if we knew the pain that would come with it, would we still choose to live it? If we knew the pain, the loss, the disappointment, the betrayal, the incredible hurt ahead of time that was gonna come, would we choose differently? If we knew that dark hour was approaching, we knew what it would bring, would we still walk into it, or would we try to avoid it? Or would we try to change it? Jesus Christ knew his darkest day was coming. He knew it would be a day marked by pain and violence. He knew that on this day, he would be rejected and betrayed. Christ walked into this day knowing exactly what was to come, and he didn't hesitate. He didn't waver. He walked directly in to this dark day, fully prepared to do all that was required of him, fully prepared to give all that he had to give. On Good Friday, Jesus Christ did what only he could do. It was a work that he chose to embrace, and he was prepared to see all the way through. Christ walked in to Good Friday, knowing what was going to come, and he took the time to help his friends be prepared. He took the time to let his friends know what was coming so they would be prepared for this dark day. In Mark's biography on the life of Jesus Christ, we find three separate times that Jesus says to his friends, his closest followers, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be betrayed and mocked. They're going to kill me, and I'm going to rise again 3 days later. And then after he said this to them several times, the day comes where they've shared their last meal together. They journey together to the Mount of Olives. And there, this is what Jesus said to them. You can find it in Mark 14, 27 and 28. Jesus said, "You'll all fall away, for it's written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Jesus went into this time knowing exactly what would happen. He even knew in those last moments that his friends would abandon him. He knew in those hard, hard moments that they would run away and flee. And still he said, after all of this, I'm coming back. I'm going to rise up, and I'm still going to go before you to Galilee. He's saying, I know this isn't going to go well. I know it's going to be hard. I know that you're not going to stay with me. But still, I'm going to go before you. And sure enough, that same night, Judas brought with him a crowd from the chief priests, armed with swords and clubs. They met them in the garden, and his friend Judas betrayed him with a kiss. When they arrested him, all of the disciples fled. They took Jesus to the high priest, and Peter followed at a distance. They questioned him, spit on him, and slapped him. That same night, Peter stood outside in a courtyard, and he denied that he even knew his friend Jesus Christ. Peter, the one who said, "If I have to die with you, I would never let this happen," said, "I don't know this man." And then he remembered that Jesus said that would happen, and he wept bitterly. The same crowds who only shortly before had cried, "Hosanna, King of the Jews," they now yelled, "Crucify him." And they took our Lord and Savior Christ, the one who'd shown compassion and grace, kindness and love, and they whipped him brutally. They beat him and they mocked him. He walked the long road to Golgotha, not surrounded by his friends, but alone, with only a stranger to carry his cross. He felt the derision of the crowd as they yelled at him and made a joke of him. He bore the shame and the indignity of the cross as they hung him up to die, until he took his final breath and he yielded up his spirit. And he did it all knowing exactly what was going to happen, even knowing that his friends would desert him, even knowing that they would run at the end. He still knew what he had to do. And so Christ died for those who didn't even believe in him. He died for those who didn't understand him. He died for those who had betrayed him. Christ died for those who had abandoned him. He died for those who had denied him. He died for the very ones who'd insulted him, mocked him, rejected him, and abused him. And he went into it knowing what was to come. And still, it didn't change his course. Still, he was committed to giving his life out of love for them and for us. Christ gave up his life because he was the only one who could. John Ortberg said, out of his remarkable brilliance, breathtaking courage, and inexplicable love, Jesus sized up a situation that defeated every human attempt at correction. He identified exactly what would be needed to bring redemption. It would cost him his life. And knowing this, knowing all of this, he said to his friends, he said, I know it's not going to go well. I know you're going to flee. I know it's going to get scary and you're going to run. But it's not going to change my mind about you. Because I might die, but I am coming back. And when I do, when I've risen, I'm still going to be your leader. I'm still going to go before you, and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. Friends, I've been in the garden, and I've ran with the rest of them. The thing I promised I wouldn't do, I did, because fear set in and became very real. There have been courtyards in my life where I stood up and denied Jesus Christ, just as Peter did. And I've wept at the knowledge. There have been times in my life I've kept Christ at a distance. There have been times in my life where I betrayed the very one who I promised to be true. And in the end, the Romans and the Jews were there that day, but it's my sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And I think, why would Christ ever want a girl like me? But the message of the cross is that no matter how far we may have run from Jesus Christ, no matter what shame, regret, no matter what past that we've carried in with us today, Christ is risen. And he still wants to go before us. The message of the cross is that Christ hasn't changed his mind about us. He still wants to go out and meet us, just as he met the disciples in Galilee. For each and every one of us, there is a special place that Christ wants to meet us. That place in our soul that is longing for more. The part of our life that's been overwhelmed with regret and with shame. The part that's been weighed down with pain. The corner of our hearts where our greatest needs and our grandest hopes rest. Christ wants to meet us there. He wants to take us by the hand. And he wants to lead us in the way that we should go. Christ wants to meet us in that place and remind us that he takes our regret and he replaces it with hope. He takes our shame and he replaces it with grace. He takes our pain and he overwhelms it with love. He gives us a new heart. He gives us new hearts to live out our grandest hopes in him, and he fulfills our greatest need. So this Good Friday, I want to ask all of us here, would we open our heart to Jesus Christ? Would you just allow him to meet you where you are and receive the love and the forgiveness that he offers us through the cross? Because it's Christ who sees us through our most painful days. It's Christ who leads us through doubt and confusion. It's Christ who brings us to joy and the hope that can only be found in him. And Good Friday is our reminder. Christ hasn't changed his mind about us. He's got his arms wide open, ready to embrace, to love, and to forgive. Dear Father, I pray for us right now. I pray that you would hear the cries of our hearts. Father, whatever we brought in here with us tonight, I pray that you would open us up to you. Father, the sin that has weighed us down, I pray that you would give us the ability to speak it out tonight and hand it over to you. The shame that's overwhelmed our life, Father, I pray that you would give us a new sense of dignity and grace in who you are. I pray, Father, that the pain of our past would be replaced by the love and the hope of the future we find in you. And my heart is so eternally grateful. And I say thank you for Jesus Christ. I say thank you that he loved us, that he was so willing that he did on that first Good Friday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.